Hi, folks. I'm Jolene Fenner.
And Tom Majeure here.
And we have a program that is Strong Tower Radio feature.
That's right.
Which we cover lots of things, Tom. And so why don't you let our listeners know what we're going to be talking about today?
We're talking about a very serious subject. The subject is assisted suicide. It was introduced in the Michigan State Legislature on the very last day in the last few minutes of the session. And we'll talk about it further. We have as a guest here, we have two guests. We have the Right to Life Legislative Director, Genevieve Marnin. And she's with us to talk about this bill. She's right on the front line watching these issues. And we also have Pastor Jay Gallimore joining us from Lansing.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Jolene, this is a very serious subject, and the subject, suicide, is a tragedy. God created all human beings, and they're meant to flourish and to have a life of happiness and fulfillment, and anything that cuts that short is a tragedy. But this subject is very little understood on it. So we'll talk more about that after a word of prayer.
We will. And I think part of what our talking we need to talk about is, and you said, there were bills introduced to the legislature the last thing just before they broke for the holiday break. And I think we need to talk about that.
We do.
Why don't you have a word of prayer, Tom?
Our Father in heaven, we know that you created all life. And you sustain all life. And we're talking about a subject that is very difficult, is of concern. And Lord, let us use grace and tact and help us to understand how to address this particular issue. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So, Genevieve, let's talk about, there were four bills that was introduced to the legislature like at the last minute, just before they were going to break.
Yes.
What were they?
So Senate bills 678, 679, 680, and 681 would create what's known as, euphemistically known as the, quote, Death with Dignity Act.
Which that sounds good.
It does sound, everybody wants death with dignity. They all want to have dignified death, and that's something we should strive for. But that's why I say it's a euphemism. These bills would allow physicians to prescribe lethal doses of medication for the sole purpose of ending the life of their patients. So this is suicide that's being assisted by our medical community. And I think it's something that we all need to be aware of and how concerning it is. So yes, the bills were introduced. The legislature has broken until January, which gives us about a month and a half or so, 2 months, to educate people on the dangers of these bills.
Well, let me ask you this. Why would they introduce, and like we had talked off air, some bill has to be the last one introduced, but why would they introduce four of these bills at the last minute?
When you can't enact it in the last day.
You can't talk about it. They're just out there.
Well, it's interesting. We've seen throughout this entire term now that the governing has not been what I would consider to be transparent or fair or forthright. Representative government should involve a robust debate, both sides talking about an issue and then coming to an agreement on behalf of the people. But what happened is, and what we've been seeing, and in particular these bills, were introduced, and yet the bill sponsors had the media lined up immediately. They introduced the bills, and they're out there doing the media circuit, setting the narrative for a pro-assisted suicide position and really kind of blanking out the opposition, because by the time the opposition is allowed to debate these in a committee, they'll have had a 2-month head start with the media.
Okay. So I liked what you said about representative government. And that's what a republic is all about. It has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats. It's being able to debate the pros and cons and letting the people decide.
Or let your legislators decide and
which
the people through
to,
their
yes.
legislators.
Correct.
Decide.
And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of less than fair tactics that have been used, including not allowing the opposition to testify in committee. That's happened to me personally on several occasions. Bringing up bills and putting them on the committee schedule with like less than a day's notice so that there's no time to prepare. So hopefully we will have an opportunity to testify in committee and have a robust debate about these bills, because this is a very, very important subject.
It's a turning a corner that will be difficult to return to. What is the definitions of the various terms? You said there's euphemisms there.
So the sponsors of the bills have euphemistically named this the death with dignity. They want to make killing yourself somehow dignified. Somehow, if you engage the medical profession, then assisted suicide or suicide is somehow legal noble. And good, noble, right? In other parts of the country, they call it medical aid in dying. Well, again, we all want medical aid in dying. We want to be kept comfortable. We want to be hydrated. We want to have pain management. Medical aid in dying. Well, we're all going to die. But they're using these terms, and they're not really what they mean. So assisted suicide, physician-assisted suicide, is doctor-prescribed death. That's what it is. It's doctor-prescribed death. Let's just call it what it is.
And I want to even take a little segue here. The death of an individual has tremendous pain on all the remaining living people.
Anyone who's had a loved one who's committed suicide understands that profoundly, because you've lost them in such a way. It's a tragedy. Yes, we understand people die and people with terminal illness die, and it's sad and it's tragic. But part of, and again, I know this is a Christian station, but
absolutely.
I think part of being a Christian is to walk with someone at the end of their life and walk them through, because as believers, we know that there is eternal life. But moreover, abandoning someone to suicide at the end of their life is really not the compassionate thing to do. And yet, Compassion and Choices is one of the leading organizations in the country pushing assisted suicide bills. But,
you know, we have in our minds of somebody who is terminally ill and in bad shape, but I have a feeling that this will be used across the spectrum and could be used even with young people in their 20s and so on and so forth. I think we need to understand this very fully. This is not end of life. It is chosen death.
That's a good way to put it. This is not end of life care. This is not medical aid in dying. This is hastening death through a lethal dose of drugs prescribed by a medical professional. And the idea that it's ending suffering, again, we want to eliminate the suffering without eliminating the people who suffer, you know? And that's what assisted suicide does, doctor-prescribed suicide. But the reality is, you're right, it becomes this kind of contagion, if you will, the suicide contagion. We just lived through the COVID situation a few years ago, and the suicides were absolutely on the radar because they skyrocketed, and it was a tragedy. And we're doing everything we can to prevent suicide. And yet, now here we are just a couple years
institutionalizing
later. Institutionalizing it. Legalizing it.
Well, Jay, anytime you want to, you know, say your two cents. One thing that I'm thinking, though, people are going, yeah, but okay, I'm terminal. I'm in so much pain. I just can't take it anymore. I can't manage it. I just let me die because I'm going to die anyways. I can see that's where this is kind of coming from. They're pushing this.
Jelaine, you made a very good point. The idea that pain is the main driver of assisted suicide is not true. Assisted suicide has been legalized in 10 states so far and several countries. And they have the data from those countries and those states. What is the number one reason for choosing assisted suicide? Fear of lost autonomy. Fear of being a burden on somebody else. Those are the main drivers. It's not pain, because we have excellent ways to manage pain with modern medicine. So there's no reason why somebody should be in intractable pain at the end of life. Yes, there may be lost autonomy, and yes, there may be a burden, but you know what? We're all a burden on somebody at some point in our life, are we not?
We started out that way.
We sure did. But that is really the driver of this, is this radical autonomy. They don't want to lose that autonomy.
And what about the suicide in general? Is it a well-reasoned process, or is it...
So the bills try to lay out this wonderful framework and all of these safeguards, and you have to have oral permission, and you have to do written, and you have to have a examination, and all of these quote-unquote safeguards. And what we've seen across the years is these safeguards very quickly become barriers.
Okay.
They become barriers. And so assisted suicide proponents will sell these ideas. Oh, they got all the safeguards. Don't worry, it's never going to get abused. And then 5 years later, they come back and they say, well, now these are barriers to access. These are barriers. It's the same. I don't want to conflate the two issues with assisted suicide and abortion, but it's the same idea. These safeguards are what they use to sell it on the general public. And then very quickly, they become barriers and they try and remove those.
What about the history of this topic? We have that here in Michigan. We were kind of the epicenter a couple decades ago, but give us the broad perspective there.
That's a very good point. And first, I want to do a little disclaimer. A lot of people are surprised to hear that Right to Life of Michigan is very involved in end-of-life issues. In fact, I tell people, and it's true, I get more end-of-life calls in my office than I do abortion calls. So conception to natural death is our mission. And we were heavily involved in fighting against assisted suicide about 25 years ago. For any of your listeners from Michigan, the name Jack Kevorkian should ring a bell. He, Dr. Death, he was out mercy killing, in his words, in his deathmobile. You guys can Google it, deathmobile. That's not me saying that. That's what he called it. He was out killing people as a way to try and highlight assisted suicide. It was because of him that Michigan banned physician-assisted suicide 25 years ago. Well, proponents of the assisted suicide movement tried to put a ballot initiative. They did put a ballot initiative on the ballot. It's Proposal B of 1998, and it was roundly defeated, 71-29. So fortunately, we were able to stop the assisted suicide movement 25 years ago. Now the question is, can we stop it again?
So we talked about this earlier. What are the different definitions of what is suicide that's self-inflicted, assisted suicide, and what are the other related terms?
Good question, Tom, because they do get mixed around. So assisted suicide, suicide, euthanasia, passive euthanasia, active euthanasia, medical aid in dying, and death with dignity. These are all these terms, and they all get conflated. So I will real quickly. Euthanasia is when you are actively killed by a doctor. So whether that's a lethal injection or what they're now proposing in Europe is death by donation, that's actually a thing. Yeah, they will go in and remove your organs as a way of killing you.
Hmm. Oh, to donate the organs.
To donate the organs. And I'm not making that up. That's what they're actively proposing to do in Europe right now. So we can look to Europe as what is going to happen in America. You hate to say the slippery slope argument, but that's true. So assisted suicide is where the patient takes the medication the lethal dose of drugs themselves. They have to ingest it themselves. The doctor does not give them a lethal injection. So euthanasia is actively killing them. Assisted suicide is where you take the drugs yourself. And there's really this, again, they sell it as assisted suicide. It's autonomous decision making. You're a competent patient, you're terminally ill, and you choose this yourself. Well, we do see, and we have seen, that moves very quickly to active euthanasia, where the doctors and the medical providers are now determining that your quality of life isn't good enough to use up medical resources. So they decide that you should just be dead now, and they euthanize you. And in fact, in countries like Belgium and the Netherlands, children are now being actively euthanized at the behest of their family members and their parents, because if they have some sort of condition that the parents don't want to deal with.
Didn't we, some period in Germany or something like that, there was euthanasia and there was a great outcry against this. Doesn't sound like there's the same outcry today.
Unfortunately, this culture of death, and we can call it what it is, has really swept through the country. When we legalized abortion 50 years ago, we turned our medical profession from healers to killers with the unborn children. And it's not a big stretch to see that they are also now, once again, being recruited to be agents of death at the end of life.
So there are already 10 states that have made this legal.
Correct. Yeah, correct. With Oregon being the first state. So we have the most data from Oregon. They legalized assisted suicide in 97.
So are there any states that have made it illegal for assisted suicide?
Well, most were originally.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Including Michigan. This would repeal our ban on assisted suicide. These bills would repeal it. So, but the assisted suicide groups, and I'll tell you, Compassion and Choices is one of the largest proponents of assisted suicide. The other is Death with Dignity. There are a couple other organizations. They used to be called the Hemlock Society, and I guess they figured that just didn't have a great connotation or something.
Well, no, those sound very nice. I mean, just like Planned Parenthood sounds nice.
Yes, yes. So they are actively getting involved in legislatures around the country. There are several bills introduced in several states. Now, fortunately, they haven't been able to pass any yet this term, but they're continuing to come at it. Michigan saw a set of assisted suicide bills introduced in 2017. Fortunately, they didn't get anywhere, but we have a different makeup in our legislature this term. So I think that they are thinking that they have a shot. In fact, I know they are because you just look at their website. They have their sights set on Michigan.
So, and I understand how you said, you know, gives them a couple months, you know, but then doesn't that then help give you a couple months now? Let's figure out when we come back what we're going to do.
Absolutely. And you guys are helping with that right now by getting the word out that these bills are introduced, that they are dangerous, that this will allow your doctors to prescribe lethal doses of drugs to yourself or your loved ones if they've been deemed terminally ill. Now, I will tell you, there's a lawsuit that was recently filed in California. The disabilities rights groups have filed a lawsuit because, let's be honest, they're targeted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear these stories. We have all kinds of stories from other states that have legalized assisted suicide. In fact, in California, there was a case where a woman who had cancer was received a letter from her insurance company denying payment for these experimental cancer drugs, but in the exact same letter said, but we'll pay for your assisted suicide drugs.
Oh, my word.
Now, think about it. If you're an insurance company, it's a whole lot cheaper to have somebody, quote unquote, choose assisted suicide than it is to pay for expensive chemotherapy drugs.
So this hasn't been settled yet. I mean, it's a lawsuit that's going on.
Lawsuit just was filed recently, like April of last year. Mm-hmm. So these things take a while. But, you know, one thing I will tell you that's very different about, again, back to the history of assisted suicide, the assisted suicide movement tried to pull a Roe versus Wade, which was the Supreme Court decision that legalized or granted a constitutional right to abortion. They tried that with assisted suicide, saying people have a constitutional right to commit suicide. And that's Washington versus Glucksberg. But unlike the Supreme Court decision in Roe versus Wade, this had the exact opposite. And the Supreme Court definitively said, no, there is no constitutional right to get a doctor to prescribe you lethal doses of drugs for the purpose of killing yourself. So that's a benefit that we do have, which is a good thing.
Pastor Jay, would you weigh in and kind of give us a perspective? I always do appreciate your insights.
Well, I think Genevieve is just doing a great job, and I'm enjoying listening to it. But just very quickly, this is illegal in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. It's only here in these Western countries where Christianity is on the wane. What you're seeing is an abandonment of Christian principles, and that includes the abortion issue. So if you're willing to kill your babies, then why wouldn't you be willing to kill old people or people with disabilities? Genevieve's absolutely right. This thing gets ugly, and these people with disabilities, these kinds of people are going to be targeted. From a Christian standpoint, we value life. Life is precious, and she said it well. We want to take care of the suffering, but we don't want to eliminate the sufferer. We have Jesus, who was the great, wonderful healer. And I tell you, the other thing is that it's sad that we've turned our medical profession into assisting in killing rather than giving life.
You know, Pastor Jay, one thing that it just struck me, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, you know, we had the two thieves on either side. The point is right up to the moment of your natural death, you don't know whether your salvation is, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The good thief,
right.
He said, I'll see you in paradise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But some people need every bit of that last few minutes. They need those mm-hmm. last few days. My father spent 13 days in the ICU. And I believe mm-hmm. firmly that he needed every bit of that time mm-hmm. to kind of make peace with God. And so
Amen.
We cheat people. We cheat people by hastening death because we don't know what goes on in those last precious mm-hmm. few moments. I have a friend who's a hospice nurse, and she said it's one of the most beautiful things to walk with someone to the end mm-hmm. of life. And that's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are fabulous programs. We have hospice. We have palliative care. Now, hospice is for those who are terminally ill and they know they're going to die. The goal mm-hmm. in hospice is to walk with you, keep you comfortable, keep you pain-free, mm-hmm. and work mm-hmm. with your family to understand the whole grieving process. They're really a very good organization.
They're wonderful.
And then there's palliative care that's really, again, you could be healed, but you might be dying, you might not, but they're going to walk with you on that. So there's lots mm-hmm. of different ways that we can manage end of life. That doesn't include taking the life of someone prematurely.
Mm. You know,
Pastor, at one time, the Christian culture was God determined. Mm. It's God has the time, he knows, and we need to respect that no matter what we think. He knows what's best for us. We've got quite a ways away from that. Is that correct?
Well, yes, with the secular atheistic culture that promotes the fact that human beings are just an animal and we're no different than the animal world. And so they want to treat us like animals. Animals do not have, for lack of a better terminology, a moral soul, for lack of a better way of saying that. But we have moral responsibilities because we have the power of choice. The Bible even talks about the spirit of an animal going down. And of course, we have Stephen saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, meaning he takes responsibility for our life. The Lord takes responsibility for that life. I love what Genevieve said when she noted that people need every moment mm-hmm. of life because this is probationary time. So mm-hmm. if you're atheistic, you don't care. You're just no different than a dog. And so if we put a dog down to stop its suffering, then why not put a human being down to do the same thing? I hate to say it. I know the opposition will go ballistic when I say this. But it's a whole lot like Nazi thinking. The whole Nazi thinking was that, listen, if you can't really pull your weight in society, we don't really need you. We just need to get rid of you. And that was kind of their thinking. And so, unfortunately, we've got this kind of thinking, and the abortion paved the way for it. Now we're here at this moment. The nation needs a great revival, a great reformation, return to biblical principles.
Pastor Jay, I was just wondering, could I ask you to go further and give hope to those who are despondent, or give us a positive swing as we come in for a landing for this program today?
Yeah, human beings are different. We're made in the image of God. He loves us. He cares for us. And every human being can turn to the Lord, just like the thief on the cross. At that last moment, can turn to the Lord and find peace and joy and love. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants to save all of us. So if you're despondent, you have a Savior who loves you. If you're depressed, you still have a Savior who loves you. Even though you can't explain all the difficulties and trials and troubles that you have, there's a Savior that loves you. And John 3:16 is the most powerful statement of that. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he give his son? He gave his son in order to deliver us from death. God hates death. Death's an enemy to God, who's the God of life. So if you're despondent and wrestling with those kinds of things, get your Bible out, read the Beatitudes, read the 23rd Psalm, read the story of Jesus and the Gospel of John, and find out what a wonderful God he is and how much he loves us.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. But I want to just real quick, and I love exactly what you're saying, and I think that your listeners need to understand a biblical worldview and how this is twisting God's plan for human beings. But we also need to be educated to speak about this from a secular perspective, because a lot of mm-hmm. the people who are going to be voting on this are not going to share our values with regard to the Bible and Jesus and eternity.
And the value of life.
And the value of life. But so we need to be able to argue this from a secular standpoint. And the reality is, there really is a genuine slippery slope. So maybe right now you're healthy. Maybe right now you're not in any fear of this, but you want this in your back pocket for in case you might suffer later. So you're going to vote yes on this. Understand that very quickly, it may not be your choice. A choice to die quickly becomes a duty to die. And that's what we're seeing in other countries. Grandma, it's too expensive to keep you in the nursing home. It's very expensive. You're going to eat up all the inheritance. Don't you want to just... You're laughing. I'm dead serious. This is really, they really do this.
No,
this is a very real
thing.
This is really expensive care. And, you know, grandma's not going to have enough money left, grandpa, if you don't just choose assisted suicide, because keeping you alive is costing us a lot of money. So these are the real things that happen. I mean, it's so bad that in Switzerland, they're developing suicide pods on the streets so that you can just decide to go into a pod and kill yourself. I mean, this is horrifying.
Yes, it is.
So from a secular standpoint, the reality is, it may not come for you today or tomorrow, but someday maybe you'll be in that position. And again, my father was bedridden in the last 2 years of his life. And I promise you, when he was 50, he was very active. He would never have chosen that. But his quality of life was okay when he got there. But thank goodness, because he had family around him who supported him right up to the minute of his death. And that's really the compassionate and loving thing. All of us want that. We all want to be valued right up to the minute of our death, and we don't want to be abandoned, and assisted suicide abandons people.
So what can our listeners do?
I think first and foremost, they need to be educated on what assisted suicide is, the dangers of it, what's going on in other countries and other states. Right to Life of Michigan, rtl.org, has some information. We're going to be developing more, you know, one-pagers and talking points for people to digest. There's a lot here. Secondly, I think if it's possible, reach out to your representative and your senator. These representatives and senators are dealing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills. They may not even be aware that these bills were introduced or what they do. Senate Bill 678, 679, 680, and 681 are the bill numbers. If anybody is wonky and wants to read them, feel free to look them up. But put it on the radar of your representative and your senator and ask them to vigorously try to defeat these bills.
So RTL is Right to Life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rtl.org.
Yes.
And they can go there and find out this. What if somebody has a question? Can they email, call?
They can call or email my office. I'm the legislative director. So I'm in Lansing. They can just Google Lansing Right to Life. They'll find my number. It's 517-487-3376. And our home office is in Grand Rapids, and we'll have some materials there. There are other great organizations that are also working to defeat assisted suicide, and that is like the Patients' Rights Council. They have produced some great materials, stories about people who've resisted assisted suicide. And then the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, they're our neighbors to Canada, they're our Canadian neighbors. And I'll tell you what, Canada is a perfect example of what is wrong with assisted suicide. They went from no assisted suicide to now considering using it to get rid of their poor. They voted, they literally did a poll to say how many Canadians want to extend assisted suicide to people for the purpose of poverty. And they overwhelmingly support it. So Euthanasia Prevention Coalition are neighbors to the north, and they are a great organization for what to look for.
A hot topic, Tom.
Jay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Genevieve, thank you so much for informing our listeners about this topic that wasn't on their radar until you talked about it. And Pastor Jay, always appreciate your perspective and bringing a special aspect into this discussion. And I want to thank Jelaine for being a part of this also. I'm your host, Tom Azure, for Strong Tower Radio Feature. Bye now.
Bye, folks. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.